You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting. Thank you for tuning in. We are a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the report. For me, an inspiration, an honor to bring you this weekly report. We are on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. If you're new to the report, well, we're a Christian legal organization hoping to help equip you with some tools to take your faith to the culture so that we may better articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous and kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's word as our guide. In the book of Jude, verse 3, we read, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that the reward is not so great without the struggle. Thank you for tuning into the Religious Liberty Report. We've got an interesting show prepared for you here today. And remember, anything you lose by speaking the truth is not a loss at all. It is an alignment. Because, brothers and sisters, we are deep into the end times. Not a time to dabble in sin, but instead, we should be redeeming the time. This is a time to be called to holiness and righteousness. This, brothers and sisters, is a desperate hour. We're living in very important times, though most of us are not aware of this. I want to encourage you. Yes, there are many reasons to be afraid today, and it can be very difficult to fight against all these fears. It seems that so much is against us. A harsh world all around us. As Christians, there are so many things that want to take our peace and our testimony. But as David said in his psalm, "I will not fear what flesh can do to me." We must settle it in our hearts. Isn't it interesting that the Bible starts and ends in Eden? From the garden to the New Jerusalem, the Bible starts and it ends in Eden. The Bible is the revelation of the character and will of God, telling us who He is and how we can have a relationship with Him. The Bible is God's written revelation to His people. Of course, God reveals Himself in many ways, but over time, the revelations of God became inscripturated. There's a word. There's a new word for you. Inscripturated. I think it's a made-up word, but I like it. It was made scripture, written down into the Bible. the 66 books that we call the Bible, divinely inspired texts, documenting what God has done throughout history and interpreting those events for us. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting on the end times. One of the most significant developments in recent years is what historians, scientists, and scholars are calling the age of information. We live in a noisy world, saturated with content, data, information. Today, just today, you and I will likely encounter more information than someone who lived hundreds of years ago would have seen in their entire lifetime. The sheer amount of information available to each one of us is stunning and historically unprecedented. They call it the doubling curve of knowledge or information. Created by Buckminster Fuller, he noticed that until 1900, the year 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not as simple as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. But, for example, nanotechnology is doubling every 2 years, and clinical knowledge every 18 months. But on average, when you take it all together, human knowledge, the totality of human knowledge and information, is doubling every 13 months. According to IBM, the build-out of the Internet of Things will lead to the doubling of knowledge every, get this, every 12 hours. Are we in the final days? Are these the end times? Humans are now rewriting the genetic code of humanity. And artificial intelligence, we see so much of it entering our lives. Artificial intelligence, I've heard that it's not artificial at all. It's just the same demonic superintelligence that we've seen from the beginning, seeking to advance the destruction of humanity and thwart God's plan, knowing good and evil. You see, brothers and sisters, in Genesis we read that it was a certain form of forbidden knowledge that precipitated the fall of man, the wickedness of the human race, through forbidden knowledge. Every inclination of the human heart was evil at the time we read in Scripture. So God annihilated His creation and built it anew after the flood. The Industrial Revolution was a form of knowledge, the power of technology, of industry, of energy. I've read that there's a hidden cost. They call it the hidden cost doctrine. There's two sides to the pact, you see. An initial benefit, but then the payment. A hidden cost, concealed. The full extent of the cost is hidden. And when you find out, it's already too late. In the stories, we read of the fool who dared to dance with the devil. But you see, one's soul cannot be stolen unless it is given away. This is the intent of of the dark side, the evil one, to desensitize us? Could it be that this technological cycle is part of desensitizing us to whom, who we really are, why we are here, and where we are going? Are we in a cycle of advancement from man to machine, surrounding ourselves with machines? Technology is creeping into our laps, into our hands, our pockets, our minds. According to scripture, all demons were once angels. All fallen angels were once glorified beings. So, in like fashion, the fall of mankind is a corruption of the divine creation. In the end times, evil will seek to remove the image of God completely from us and replace it with a false, mechanical, technological landscape, superseding our true divine nature, the true divine design. Cast down from heaven, fallen angels, and the evil one, these fallen ones, want to see mankind broken and fallen as well. So there's a process to corrupt our minds, our bodies, our spirits, so that they no longer resemble the image of God, the divine image. Instead, a digital, mechanical world will come into being. And if I read my Bible right, it will come to rule the world. As I said, there's nothing artificial behind artificial intelligence. This is something that has been with mankind since the beginning of time. So, is artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, biotechnology, are these vehicles for the Antichrist and for demons to enter our world? Could they be mechanical interfaces, technological interfaces that will be the bars of a future prison? Are they building the matrix? A network of data, omniscient cameras, GPS tracking, robots, lifelike robots that even mimic human intelligence and emotion. President Eisenhower in 1961, in his farewell address to the nation, warned us against a military-industrial complex. Scientific, military, tech elites, somehow nefariously influencing and even maybe controlling societies and populations. A materialistic universe, like a machine. Animals, plants, humans, like machines. We're all machines. In fact, materialism and science are the new religion. Science, materialism, replacing faith, a new religion in the coming age, where men seek to become like gods. We've seen this before, haven't we? What is the future of humanity? Life is about to break out of what some call the limited organic realm and start spreading into the inorganic realm. Scientists are now boasting that they are able to create the first inorganic life forms. As science rushes forward, could humanity be seeking to change, upgrade into something different? Writer Noah Harari says that in the 21st century, humanity will try to gain control of the world inside, to learn how to engineer and produce bodies, to produce brains, even minds. Harari says that these will be the main products of the 21st century economy. In the coming decades, artificial intelligence, biotechnology, nanotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even possibly create completely new life forms. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting. Reporting on the end times, transhumanism, the future of humanity. Most people rarely think about how, in the last few decades, the human race has managed to bring famine, plague, and war under control. Think about it. The first flying machines appeared in the early 20th century. And then, within 70 years, by 1969, man was landing on the moon. Odd, don't you think? Of course, famine, plague, and war have not been eradicated, but they've been transformed into manageable challenges. Hariri says that we need not pray to any god, deity, or saint to rescue us from these calamities. Hariri cites that though millions still go hungry every day in the world, in most countries, actually few people starve to death. He references the famine of 1692 in France, where 15% of the population died of starvation. This was under King Louis XIV, the so-called Sun King. He also cites that millions of Chinese starved to death under the Mao years, the so-called Great Leap Forward. But mass famines, though they may still strike from time to time, they are exceptional, the exception to the rule. For the most part, the world is free of famine today. In most parts of the planet, even if a person has lost his job, his possessions, he is unlikely to die of starvation. Of course, nutritional insecurity remains a reality for many. But starvation is not the rule. It is the exception. For the first time in human history, really. In fact, in most countries today, overeating and obesity are a far worse problem than famine and starvation. It's reported that by 2030, half of the world's population is expected to be overweight. Obesity killing more than famine in the 21st century. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Reporting on modern advances in science, production, and nutritional insecurity. War. Yes, wars are also becoming the exception. Even as we see Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, the Middle East, Ukraine, and many more countries in Sudan and Africa, where wars happening, it is, again, the exception more than the rule, at least so far. You see, nuclear weapons have turned wars between superpowers into a mad collective suicide. So wars, world wars, are the exception. Now, in the 21st century, material-based economies, commodities-based economies, production and industry, they're morphing, changing, transforming into knowledge, information-based economies. Knowledge, information, quickly becoming the most valuable, important economic resource. the last days of death. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, we read, "And in those days people will seek death and not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. You see, brothers and sisters, in the 21st century, humans are likely to make a serious bid for immortality. You see, human rights are now advancing towards immortality. The right to life, a fundamental value. So in a very real way, in a very real sense, death is wrong, a crime against humanity. And man has declared war against death. Ray Kurzweil, Google's director of engineering, former director, I believe, said that within 10 years, we will be able to live forever. Computers will have consciousness. The singularity, a time in the future when man and machine will merge as one. Traditionally, historically, death has been the specialty of priests, theologians. But now engineers, scientists are moving in. Death is now a technical problem, a scientific challenge. Many scientists are embarking on this mission to solve death. Mankind seeking to solve the problem of death. One famous modern scientist, technophobe, Peter Thiel, or Thiel of Google, he recently confessed that he aims to live forever. Genetic engineering, regenerative medicine, nanotechnology, upgrading body parts. Transhumanism, they call it, the singularity. In 1900, the global life expectancy was approximately 40 years. Today, it's common to meet octogenarians in their 80s. Could we be on the verge of doubling life expectancy, say, to like 150 years, 200 over the next century? Science, technology, the end times. Scientists looking to create avatar bodies. Supercomputers where humans will enter or connect to. Changing our bodies into machines and plugging into the net, the hive. I've read that intelligence can be multiplied 2 billion times. Some are saying we will become like gods and have the option to live forever. Many saying that humans can defeat death, that even though our bodies may no longer exist, our consciousness will somehow remain, not too distant in the future. Merging with supercomputers, genetically enhancing our bodies. Silicon, glass, microchips. The Superman, Superwoman. Humans could upload themselves into computer banks or even colonize local stars. Science, religion, intersecting, intertwining. Virtual humans. The universe slowly and surely converting into a living matter, a state of living matter. The entire universe evolving into a gigantic computing machine. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we read, "The eyes of both were opened." The elixir of life, the philosopher's stone, a new alchemy of science and spirit. But, brothers and sisters, we know that God does not reveal himself outside of his word, and that all this is a counterfeit version of salvation and the idea that we must be born again. It's the same philosophy of the ancient mystery schools, the secret societies, just wrapped up in a new modern technological disguise. The idea of the hero's journey, that mankind should face the darkness, jump into the abyss, and then become a perfect enlightened being. But we know, brothers and sisters, that God does not reveal himself outside of his word. Their end will correspond with their deeds. These grandiose schemes for immortality are only a product of this age of deceit. Humanity's agenda, their goal to achieve immortality outside of God's word, is the same old lie in a new package and presentation. And we read in our Bibles that Jesus is coming back to pour out his wrath on the world, that the Lamb is coming back and he will overcome the world, the same Lamb that came 2,000 years ago to save the world. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting on the end times and mankind's feeble, false, fantastic attempts to achieve immortality, to achieve happiness, divinity, outside of God's plan. Sin is a computer virus of sorts that requires agency to be resolved. And that agent is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are the omnipotent, sovereign God who rules all the affairs of men and accomplishes his purposes no matter what. We know that you can move the minds of men and of kings and those who don't know you and don't know about you and your will for us. Even Satan is your servant, Father, and all men are subject to your sovereign providence and power. Father, we see your hand in this immense event of Christ coming down from heaven to earth, a baby born, God in human flesh. How you moved history to set the scene. We give you praise and glory, the God of creation, the God sovereign over history, and the sovereign God of our hearts, whom we know and love through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have come to know you personally, that you are our personal God, that you live in us, you love us, you bless us, you forgive us, and you fill us with peace and hope and joy. Alexander Alfano signing off for the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and may God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast.